Reverend clergy and venerable religious, dear parishioners, I would like to speak to you today about the Holy Rosary. We've begun already the month of the Holy Rosary. On Tuesday will be the great feast of the Holy Rosary. And this is an excellent time in which to reflect upon how powerful, how important, how critical it is to pray the rosary on a daily basis. Also, a reminder, during October, Pope Leo XIII had decreed that we add the prayer to St. Joseph to the daily recitation of the rosary. You'll find a copy of that in the bulletin. When we look at the rosary historically, we see that it was given as primarily, or at least in great with a great emphasis, as a tool to fight heresy. You can read about this in St. Louis Marie de Montfort's book, Secret of the Rosary, in which he explains how St. Dominic was having a very hard time converting the Albigensian heretics. And this heresy, among other things, declared that there was a good God and a bad God, and the good God makes good things happen, the bad God makes bad things happen, and also makes all material things happen. So they were also advocating murder, suicide. They condemned marriage. He says matter is evil, the body is evil. And this heresy had taken very great hold in parts of Europe, especially in southern France. And Saint Dominic, despite his zeal, his prayer and penance, he was not being very successful, he and the others that were trying to fight this heresy. And Our Lady appeared to St. Dominic and gave him the 15 decades of the rosary and said, Dominic, this is the primary tool that must be used to combat heresy, to extinguish it, to crush it, to get rid of it, because heresy is spiritual poison. It will lead souls to hell. So we need a powerful antidote. And what is that antidote? Praying the rosary. And St. Dominic found that as he preached the rosary, he could at least get the heretics to start praying the rosary. All of a sudden, they started to really listen. They started to change. They started to abandon their heresy. They began to adhere to the truth. And so the rosary will always be a primary tool in combating heresy. But there's so many other wonderful things that happen. It makes us grow spiritually. It brings down blessings. It gives peace to the world. Our Lady said at Fatima, pray the rosary for peace. Don't make more bombs and more bullets. Get on your knees and pray the rosary if you want peace, because it makes peace happen inside of us, it makes peace happen around us, and it brings down more peace in the world. What is war but a lack of peace? There's something wrong inside somebody else that makes him want to go and unjustly attack others. As St. Paul talked about in today's epistle, about the bond of love. Every time you pray the rosary with others, do you realize you have grown in your bond of love with them? There's a greater strength there than there was before when you prayed that rosary with that person or those other persons. You see why it's so critical to pray the rosary every day. Father Patrick Peyton's motto for his rosary crusade, we have it in the bulletin every Sunday, the family that prays together stays together. In other words, you'll work out your problems as a family, but if you neglect prayer, you're not going to resolve those problems. We live in an age of the most widespread heresy of all time. The heresy of modernism, which has absolutely decimated those that call themselves Catholics. And the rosary needs to be used to fight modernism. And if the rosary is truly prayed, and prayed well, a person will renounce heresy and will separate from heresy, will not want to coexist with heresy. And this is what the rosary does for us. It makes us strong, traditional Catholics. If we start to neglect the rosary, we start to weaken. There have been people that have gone over to the side of the Vatican II Church. They weakened. We have to be strong. Call the heresy for what it is. And we don't want to coexist with heresy. And this is the problem I see, and I'm going to be specific here. I see this problem with the Society of St. Pius X. Many dedicated, very dedicated traditional Catholics, but what is the problem there? They're trying to coexist with the heresy. They continue to have talks with Rome, modernist Rome. How can we get back together with you? And my dear brethren, let's make no mistake, St. Dominic did not teach Catholics how to coexist with heresy. He said, we have to destroy the heresy. We have to crush the heresy. We want nothing to do with heresy. It's spiritual poison. And I would say this to the members of the Society of St. Pius X, clergy and laity, don't deal with the devil, so to speak. You're not going to succeed. They're not going to change. It's getting worse and worse. This Pope Francis is the pure embodiment of the spirit of Vatican II. There's no telling what heresy or novel idea is going to come out of him. It comes out of him on a consistent basis. And it's to the point where he's attacking, literally attacking Catholic doctrine. Do you remember the story of the one woman in Argentina who complained that her priest wouldn't give her Holy Communion because she was living in adultery? She was living in a second marriage. And instead of upholding the sanctity of marriage, he said, just go to another priest who will give you communion. Can you imagine a vicar of Christ saying, you're fine living in adultery? Of course, he didn't call it that. Why would you want to be in union with this man who does not have the faith? And unfortunately, I see so many traditional Catholics who still think he's the Pope, and somehow they have to be in union with him. And I say, tell them, pray your rosary and separate yourself from them. Yes, if somebody changes and converts, that's one thing. But if they're going to keep on persisting in heresy, even St. John tells us, a heretic after the first and second admonition, avoid. Pray for them. Pray for that they convert, but we cannot be in union with them. And there are others, as I said, other besides the Society of St. Pius X, that think that we can somehow coexist with heresy. No, we can't. We must not. Otherwise, we will lose the integrity of faith ourselves. There's much more that the Rosary has done through the centuries. Let's fast forward from the time of St. Dominic. Battle of Lepanto, 1571. The Feast of the Holy Rosary was specifically instituted by Pope St. Pius V because of the role that the rosary played in that battle. I was just reading about the Battle of Lepanto earlier today, and you know, both sides had had councils of war, the Turks on one side and the Catholic combined fleet on the other, and both, there was advice given on both sides, don't go into this battle, you won't be able to win it. But the Catholics went in knowing that they were turning to the true God. The Turks were turning to their false god, Allah. And they arranged their ships in that Islamic crescent to surround the Christian fleet to destroy them. But then the wind changed. Many rosaries were being prayed at the time of that battle. Don Juan of Austria, who led the effort, forbade any cursing or blaspheming on the ships. And as a matter of fact, there was even a holy silence on these some 250 galleys that the Catholic fleet had, as opposed to the some 250 galleys or so that the Turkish fleet had. And also there's stories that the men went into battle with rosaries in their hands. And they won that victory decisively, and Europe was saved. Do we still have the Islamic threat today? It is the most obvious, it's as clear as day. We read about the horror stories of what the followers of Islam are doing in the Middle East. And more than anything else, we have to pray the rosary and live our faith. So that great battle was won because of the rosary. 1815, the Battle of New Orleans in America. Why did the American force win that battle? Why did the English forces get, disoriented and end up in a swamp where they basically perished? God was on the side of the Americans. I truly believe that. During the battle, many of the soldiers' families gathered and prayed the rosary. In our modern times, Austria. Austria was under Soviet domination after World War II. And as we know, once they get in there, they don't loosen their grip. What could Austria do, 7 million people against Soviet Russia? A priest, Father Petrus, remembered Don Juan of Austria, outnumbered 3-1. Don Juan led the papal, Venetian, and Spanish ships. I'm not sure about that. There's different historical accounts. But anyway, it was definitely a peril, like a danger. And they won the Battle of Lepanto. So this priest called for a rosary crusade against the Soviets. He asked for a tithe, that 10% of the Austrians, 700,000, would pledge to say the rosary daily for the Soviets to leave their country, and 700,000 pledged. And for 7 years, the Austrians prayed the rosary. Then on May 13th, anniversary of the apparition of Fatima in 1955, the Russians left Austria. There's a story also the stigmatist, Teresa Neumann of Connersruth, declared in 1962, she said, it was truly because of the rosaries of the Austrian people that the Russians left. In 1964, Brazil was in great danger of falling under communist domination, and was I'll read here. In one night in mid-1962, Dona Amelia Bastos listened to her husband and a band of anti-communists discuss the looming threat of communism. I suddenly decided, she said, that politics had become too important to be left entirely to the men. Moreover, who has more at stake in what's happening to our country than we women? She formed the Campaign of Women for Democracy, and in Belo Horizonte, 20,000 women reciting the rosary aloud broke up the leftist meeting there. In Sao Paulo, 600,000 women praying the rosary in one of the most moving demonstrations in Brazilian history sounded the death knell of the communist revolution. So Austria and Brazil were saved from communist domination. And there's another story here that at the time of 1960, when Nikita Khrushchev visited the United States at the United Nations and said he would bury the communism would bury the United States one day. But on the night of October 12th to the 13th of that very year, about 1 million pilgrims spent the night outdoors in the COVID area at Fatima in prayer and penance before the Blessed Sacrament. They prayed the rosary. At the same time, at least 300 dioceses throughout the world joined with them. And on that night, between October 12th and 13th, right after his shoe-pounding episode at the United Nations, Khrushchev suddenly pulled up stakes and left in all haste for Moscow, canceling all subsequent engagements. Well, of course, it was the power of the rosary that made that happen. So, my dear brethren, it's a most powerful and critical choice that we make to pray the rosary daily. We need it for our own spiritual survival. We need it for the church, which has been decimated by modernism. We need it for world peace. We need it because of the problems we're having here in our very country, which is becoming more and more socialist, more and more totalitarian, more and more immoral, more and more enshrining moral perversion. What's going to answer this? The rosary. It has worked miracles before. It's going to work miracles now. And if enough of us pray the rosary, then great things will happen or will continue to happen. So recommit to the Most Holy Rosary every day. We need to do this. And even pray extra decades of the rosary when you get the chance. And let us be a mighty army sending up that powerful petition, that powerful witness. When we have those rosary marches downtown, we are bringing graces down upon Spokane and the rest of the world that we'll probably never realize till we get to heaven. That rosary is vanquishing the devil. He hates the rosary. He's afraid of the rosary. Take your beads out and he starts to quake. But it's not enough for you to just take them out. You need to use them and keep praying that rosary till you win those battles, every battle against the devil. So our Blessed Mother has given us the answer. Let us heed her call and be a mighty army of rosary warriors. And let's take this message to the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.